Hello, everybody. We are going to be trying out Daniel Smith watercolors for the first time. If you would like to grow as an artist and you can't take an art class, we've got everything in here: art prof, critiques, tutorials, professional development, and workshops. I have never used Daniel Smith before, and I have several people who have raved to me about them. So thank you so much, Jess, for sending these watercolors to me. Oh, look, it comes in a little cute case. I really like that. Okay, so the colors we have are Hansa Yellow Light, New Gamboge. I probably said that wrong. Quinacridone Rose, Pearl Scarlet, Phthalo Blue, Green Shade, and French Ultramarine. My other watercolor palette is full of Winsor & Newton, so I'm just going to use a plate today. Tell me in the chat, what watercolor brands have you used before? The only ones that I've used have been Winsor & Newton and Old Holland. Let me see what's in here, though. What's this? Oh, this is watercolor ground. A lot of people have told me about watercolor ground. I've never actually used it before. Absorbent surfaces, canvas paper, plaster, hardboard. These will be abraded before application of the ground. Thick, brushable, and heavily pigmented. Oh, it's titanium white. Let's test it because I've really never used this before and I just want to see what it's like. Can be thinned up to 10% with water. Okay. Oh, and they even have a little guide. I love it when there's a little pamphlet inside. Whoa, what's this? Oh, is this a palette? What is this? I'm so confused. Oh, no, I think it's just packaging. I thought this was like sheets of palette. It's just packaging. Oh, look, I have a little Daniel Smith sticker. That's cute. And here's the mixing guide. It's got a mixing map. Okay. All right, so you see here, it has a mixing map. Oh, and there's even a color key down here. So it explains if it's transparent or semi-transparent and whether it is granulating or non-granulating. It has color ratios, water ratios, glazing, mixing grays. Wow, a lot of information here. Good job, Daniel Smith. Okay, this is all in French. That's not going to help me. And this here says, oh, interesting. It says the watercolor ground lets you paint a paintable surface on any flat or three-dimensional surface. So, for example, you could put the watercolor ground on cardboard. That's really cute. Okay, let's definitely try that. So here's my question. Is Daniel Smith worth the hype? Because everybody talks about them. Okay, let's just try some swatches. And the paper that I have is Cold Press Arches watercolor paper. The other brands that I've used, honestly, it's just because I got them for free, which isn't a great reason to have only used those colors. The Old Holland ones, I got them for free because I did a demo for Blick. They weren't that good. I felt like they weren't very smooth. And that bothered me. And I was sort of surprised because Old Holland is one of those brands that everybody goes nuts over. But maybe it's more their oil paints that do that. Because Old Holland oil paints, oh my gosh, they're absurdly expensive. They have some paints, Old Holland, in oil that are $75 for a little tube. I had a painting teacher in art school who just would go nuts over Old Holland. But so far, I have not been impressed with their watercolors. All right. The transparent and semi-transparent thing, honestly, I have not paid that much attention to that. And now after looking at that chart, I feel like I really should. More water. Oh, they are very smooth. Oh, they're way smoother than the Winsor & Newton. I can already feel they're sort of silky and very fine. Oh, I like this. It's like they glide across the paper some more. Let me check and see if this one is transparent or semi-transparent, because I really should be thinking about that more. This is Hansa Yellow, semi-transparent, non-granulating. Okay, so maybe that's why it's so smooth. Let's try the other one. This one is New Gamboge. I've never heard of that name before for a color. Oh, and they're very vivid. The other color was so light that I really couldn't see it that well, but this is very rich pigment. Okay, I think they are worth the hype. That's my initial assessment. We got to go through the rest of the colors, but yeah, the pigment is really strong. This yellow, it's actually getting pretty bright. Oh my gosh, where have you been all my life, Daniel Smith? I can't believe that. I haven't had this experience. All right, let's try this red one. And this color is Pearl Scarlet. Oh, I like that red. Here, where I just painted, there's not a lot of water, but you can see how strong it is. I'm going to paint it at full saturation. And then maybe I'll do one that's more transparent just to see the comparison between the two. But this is very rich. I've never used a red that was this rich. Yeah, the pigment is very strong. Wow. All right, you're worth the hype, Daniel Smith. Now I guess I have to replace all my watercolors because this is just so much better. Okay, so this is the same color, but I'm going to put in quite a bit of water. And let's see what the transparency, the smoothness is what's really getting me right now. It's just, it's so smooth and so slick. Oh, that is really, really nice. And let's also label which is which. This one is New Gamboge. This is Hansa Yellow. Pearl Scarlet. Let's see what people are saying in the chat. And by the way, everybody, the reason I am able to demonstrate this today is because of Jess. Jess sent me these watercolors. And if you have any supply that you would like to see me test or a supply you're curious about, or maybe you want to see my reaction, you can send us supplies. If you go to artprof.org, and you type in art supply reactions into the search bar, it will take you to a page which has our wish list information, how to send art supplies to us. And if there's a supply that you want to send us, but it's not on my wish list, you can comment in the Discord, any of our social media sites, and we can certainly add that to our wish list. Because this stream and the open acrylics stream happened because people sent me supplies. Let's see what people are saying. Ellen Doy is divided between a Kremer set and Daniel Smith. I have not tried Kremer before. If anybody wants to pop in some experiences with that. Oh, this is very true, Nancy. Always think it's interesting that different brands are not the same color. If anybody saw, tell me in the chat if you saw Lauren's Naples Yellow short where she compares Lucas Acryl and Winsor & Newton, I think. It's two different brands. And I looked at them and the Lucas Acryl Naples Yellow, it was practically yellow ochre. It was not what I think of as being Naples Yellow. So you're right. You have to expect that there will be pretty significant differences sometimes between brands. And of course, it depends on the color as well. Louis is asking, did you like the old Holland ones? I really didn't like them that much. They weren't bad. It's not like I would refuse to paint with them, but they just were sort of meh. They're fine, but they're not like this. That this is really, really silky smooth, very strong pigment. I guess that's the biggest difference is when I compare Daniel Smith to Winsor & Newton and Old Holland, the pigment is like 10 times stronger here than it is with the other brands. And then there's the smoothness that I wasn't finding. I feel like compared to Old Holland and Winsor & Newton, this is like silk. And those two are like burlap. I don't know. I mean, they're not that bad. They're more like just linen or something like that. Josh says use M. Graham for watercolor since the binder is honey and they don't dry out. I'm definitely curious about Daniel Smith. I've never used those before. That's strange. They don't dry out. I'd love to hear a follow-up on that. And actually, some of you may have seen that I went to Guerra Paint and Pigment in Brooklyn, and this is Aquazol, and it says it's a high performance water soluble polymer. And so you mix 50% Aquazol. These are crystals, by the way. You can see they're like that. And so you do 50% water with the Aquazol, and then you can add the pigment. I was interested in Aquazol almost using it as a thinner, a medium, which I've never really done before, but I was really curious about that. So maybe I'll do a stream on some other of the Guerra products. Yes, took me way too long, Reem, to figure that out. Wow, 7A, that's a lot of brands. I haven't even heard of half of these. What is Core and Meaden? Van Gogh paints I really have not used. Royal Talons and Derwent, both of those brands I haven't used that much. Sennelier, they make watercolors? Kay says, spent almost a sixth of my salary on cotton watercolor paper. It was too fast and mistake. Website doesn't accept cancellation before a certain period. Oh, that's a bummer. Ginger is a big pigment nerd of a watercolorist. Have a big history with this little set. Well, I think I'm going to have to get more than just this little set. And actually, if you want really refined opinions about colors. Who here got to see the watercolor video, the 30-minute one, with my former RISD professor, Andrew Raftery? And if you've noticed in the tutorial, he does use Daniel Smith watercolors. And he has a palette that is only for green. Check out the video. It's really incredible, because we get to see his insight, his explanations over his color choices. And he talks a lot about green, which I had no idea you could talk about green to that degree of depth until I heard him do that. But it's one of my favorite videos we've ever produced. And again, it is all Daniel Smith. Shannon is asking, is this the Essentials set? I believe it is. Essential watercolor mixing set. Yep, 6 tubes of color. Mystical Wren says, I have tried a few granulating paints. I really don't have a lot of experience with those. They had a really nice set when I went to Pigment Tokyo in July, but I haven't really used them very much, but they make really beautiful patterns. I've seen a lot of people use them. Okay, so Jen just says the earth tones are where the hype happens. They have serious granulation and also a lot of colors not available elsewhere. Oh, shoot. I don't really have the earth colors. The mixing set doesn't have any browns or yellow ochres. Oh, more art supplies to buy. Because actually, you know something, everybody, is I finally went to see Dune 2 yesterday. Actually, it made me so tired. I went to the movie. I was like, oh, this will be so relaxing. I was like exhausted when we got back because we saw it on IMAX. And so it was really, really like loud and the theater was like vibrating from all the music. But I was thinking to myself, it would be really fun to use these Daniel Smiths and work on the poster because I still have not finished it. But one of the things that I realized is that my poster doesn't work in terms of the subject matter because I put the Bene Gesserit in the desert. But the thing is, the Bene Gesserit in Dune 2, they never go into the desert. They're always in these indoor spaces. I was like, shoot. But then I was looking at the Fremen and they have beautiful flowing robes. And that was sort of the thing I was interested in about the Bene Gesserit. So now I think I have to change the Bene Gesserit into the Fremen. It'll be the same visual concept. I was like, oh gosh. I guess in theory, if that was a real gig, they maybe would have pointed that out to me because yeah, that wasn't the right context to be talking about the Bene Gesserit. Wow, there's so many other ones. Okay, so it's not just me, because I was like, am I the only one that realizes how silky smooth this is? Shamar says, Daniel Smith is dangerously smooth. It's common to get this brand and not look back. I think that's what's going to happen to me. Because once you've had that taste of a really beautiful material, everything else just feels like ground coffee beans. It's just not that great. So Karasu says, would you consider Things to Get Me wish list? That way people would be able to send you supplies from local art shops that have online stores. I'd have to look into it. To be honest, I don't have the headspace for it right now. I feel like I'm working 5 full-time jobs and Friday, I realized, oh my God, I am really burnt out, which is why I went to see Dune yesterday, which of course made me more tired. But I would love to do all these things. It's just my job is too big and I'm trying to not burn out. And interesting, Poe says, my experience is that Daniel Smith is hit and miss depending on the color. Flat Cameras asking about Winsor & Newton, Cotman, or Professional. I am using the Professional ones. I have used Cotman in the past. I think I had a travel kit with Cotman. Okay, so Poe is recommending don't replace all your watercolors with Daniel Smith. Mix and match paint brands depending on which paint from which brand performs better. I guess I'd have to try them all in order to be able to do that. So if anybody wants to send me M. Graham or Schmincke or Van Gogh, I forget what some of the other brands were, we can definitely do a comparison there. So Allison is suggesting you need to try Daniel Smith Primatech line. They're super fun and unique to this brand. Oh, Allison, if you could tell me what's specific about that line, that would be fantastic to see. Actually, Shannon, these are on my wish list. Daniel Smith has something called watercolor sticks. I've never seen them before. I just stumbled upon it when I was looking for Daniel Smith watercolors, but I have no idea how those function, but they are on my wish list. So again, if you want to send me supplies, remember you can just type into our website, Art Supply Reactions, and it will take you to a page which does have our wish list. And we also have Crispy. I have recently inherited a lot of old tube watercolors. Lots of it is good quality. Some of the tubes are very hard and possible to open. Should I just toss it or is it worth cutting open the tube? Oh, I cut them open all the time. It's like watercolor surgery. I've had friends that do the same thing with gouache. It just makes me sad if I miss out on anything. So much excellent information in the chat. Thank you everybody for sharing all of your experiences with the watercolor. I feel like our community is like a global research team. Does anybody ever feel that way? That we can all come here and talk about all of these supplies. And I feel like I learn more from you guys than you do from me when it comes to all these different types of brands. All right, let's get back to our tests. We have two more colors to test. So let's do phthalo blue green shade is the one I'm gonna do next. Oh my gosh, it's so rich. So again, I'm gonna do the same thing. I'm gonna do full out color, full pigment. I need more. By the way, everybody, raise your hand if you could just sit and do color swatches all day, because I definitely could. I forget who it was, but somebody told me that they had a teacher at one point who told them that mixing paint was a waste of time. It was something really absurd like that. I was like, oh my gosh, when I paint in oil, I spend a good probably 45 minutes just mixing my paint. Now that's me. Not everybody likes to pre-mix their paint, but I really do because I just get really lost if I'm having to do too many things at the same time. So pre-mixing my colors takes out some of that extra stuff I have to do. I will say, this is a color thing, but the Pure Roll Scarlet is crazy saturated, super pigmented. This one is also very pigmented, but I think because it's not as saturated of a color, it is behaving differently. Let's do a wash. Although, wow, for a wash, that's very pigmented. Oh, they feel great on the surface. And I am going to do a quick painting study after we do these swatches. Nice. I'm very happy today. Just discovered another art supply to have a love affair with. This is phthalo blue, green shade. Okay, let's do the next one, which is French ultramarine. Good old reliable. I love French ultramarine. It's one of the first blues. I feel like I grew up on French ultramarine. I just love it as a color because it's so good at getting really dark value. Sort of like alizarin crimson. It's just one of its special talents, I think. Oh, it's so... It's weird. After I did the phthalo blue, I mean, this is really, really blue. And it's interesting how this one sort of behaves almost like a dark cerulean blue because it has so much green in it. I mean, I always talk about cerulean blue as being a very yellow blue, whereas I think about French ultramarine, this is more like a purpley blue. I'm gonna get it a little bit darker. I wanna see just how dark I can get it. Right now it's pretty washy. By the way, who here has a preference between tubes and cakes? I am definitely a tube person, but does anybody here prefer cakes? Because I think cakes are very helpful if you're traveling, especially. But I definitely think my preference is the tubes because the tubes, you can get out nice squishy paint, which is always really fun. Okay, so let's do a lighter version. Oh geez, that still has a lot of pigment in it. Let's get it much lighter. I think things are lining up. I saw Dune 2. I'm painting with watercolor today. I think it's time for me to finish that poster. It's just hard to justify. Too many other things going on. A lot of people will say to me, they're like, Clara, when do you sleep? I'm like, I don't really sleep. I actually have had a history of sleep problems, but hopefully I can keep it together. I'm the type of person, if I'm not doing things, it makes me nervous. I feel actively anxious if I am not doing things. So many suggestions. Nancy says, Ron Rhodonite Genuine. It's a granulated version of quinacridone pink. Nice. Beam paints. Is that a brand 7A or is that a type of paint? Because the other paint that I'm very curious about, which I haven't ever tried before, is Flash. Has anybody here tried Flash? F-L-A-S-H-E. Because actually Andrew Raftery uses Flash a lot. He did a lot of those for his ceramic plates. He would do these Flash studies. And I'm interested in them because I like thin acrylics. I don't like the thick goopy acrylics. And I feel like Flash might be a better version of gouache for me. I'm not a huge gouache fan, but given that I haven't used it very much, I don't know that I can be that judgmental. Allison explains, Primatex are made from ground up minerals. They granulate a lot. Some have a natural sparkle to them. Lots of fun colors that aren't in the normal color line. Oh man, you guys just keep giving me so many suggestions. It's great. I love it. Yeah. Anna says, I rely on cutting tubes open to get as much paint as possible. I hate wasting paint. If you use acrylic or oil, you can buy this thing called a tube wringer, where you just roll your tube through this thing and it squeezes every last bit of paint. So if you're worried about that, get a tube bringer. It's really inexpensive. It's probably like $5 or something like that. Auntie M, I'd love to work at Golden and paint swatches to tubes. That's what we are. Art supply brain trust. I mean, can you think of any other place that people are this nuanced and nerdy about their art supplies? I'm sure there's other communities that talk about art supplies. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying the degree of nerdiness here, I'm gonna guess is higher. I could be totally wrong. Maybe there's other places that are more, but I just feel like everybody here's so nuanced with their opinions. For example, in our Discord, and if you're not in our Discord, you should come hang out because it's a 24/7 art party. We have channels that are dedicated to art supplies where people can ask questions and get help. And it's extraordinary to me, the depth of the conversations that people have in here. It's really impressive. What can I say? Our audience is just so amazing. I mean, I think you guys are the best. I know I'm a little bit biased, but. And Andrew is a printmaker, but he paints. He actually was doing a lot of oil paintings early in his career, and then he pivoted to engravings, and then he was doing the ceramic dishes, he's doing the wallpaper, he's doing the watercolor paintings. The watercolor paintings are done. He had them shown at a New York City gallery last fall, but he's amazing. I mean, he's always doing such different things, so innovative. And especially in academia, you find a lot of dead wood. It's like people get that tenured position and gosh, they just keep doing the same thing over and over again. But he's somebody in academia who's been extremely innovative and just done so many different types of things. Okay, let's get this off. Of course, this is like a really thin watercolor block. Come on. Do I really own? Oh, there's only two sheets here. Okay. All right. I'm going to try the watercolor ground on the back of this so I can use the other sheet for a short painting study. Okay, so let's try the watercolor ground. I got to read about this because I don't really know how to use it. Gosh, I need my glasses. I'm an old lady. Canvas, paper, plaster. Okay, those are the surfaces. For best results, these will need to be abraded before application of the ground. I don't really feel like I want to do that. Maybe they're talking about things like glass or plastic. Thick, brushable, and heavily pigmented allow 24 to 72 hours to cure before applying watercolor or acrylics. Oh, okay. In that case, I'm probably not going to be able to do it, but let me just paint some of it because I'm just curious just how it feels. And actually, I feel like I have some Schmincke. Give me a minute because I'm pretty sure I know exactly where that is. It's in my shelf. And remember, everybody in our Discord gets one free session of Open Studios Club. Open Studios Club is where you get to hang out with me on voice, work on your pieces, and a lot of people like it, including myself, because it blocks out a chunk of time to work on your stuff, and it keeps you accountable. I found it. Look, it's my giant watercolor stash. This is aqua modeling paste. My glasses. Is this the same thing? Medium for watercolors achieves white, relief-like coarse painting grounds. So it's a medium. Modeling paste coarse for structures with coarse surfaces. Okay, that doesn't sound like quite the same thing. I think this is the watercolor ground. Oh no, wait, this is aqua pasto thickener, reduces color flow. Medium for watercolors for slight structure effect. Increases consistency, increases gloss. Suitable for spatula techniques. What does that mean? But tends to crack when applied to thick layers. Let's just try it. I've never tried either of these. And I think now is a good time to do that. And then we'll do a painting study. I just want to see what it feels like. Okay, let's label these. Aqua modeling paste. And then we have aqua pasto Schmincke. Schmincke is another company. I really have not used that many of their supplies. Okay, This is Daniel Smith's watercolor ground. Titanium white. Does anybody know, does Daniel Smith make watercolor ground with other colors? It seems like they do if they have that one labeled. Okay, let's give it a shot, see what it feels like. Oh, it's so thick. It's like peanut butter. Well, I don't know if it feels, it looks, I was not expecting it to be that thick. Oh, shoot. Crap. My paint has blue in it. Whatever. Oh my God. I did not clean my brush. Let's try that again. Let's lift that up. And of course, gosh, I'm so dumb. Let's get rid of that blue. Let's try that. Oh, it's sort of like thin, smooth gesso. Wow, I was not expecting it to be so thick. I was sort of thinking that it would be really, really thin, but it's not. It's like very thin gesso, but it feels not very, how should we say? It doesn't have a lot of body to it. Interesting. Does anybody know with watercolor ground, do you have to do several layers or do you just do one? Is it like gesso where you have to build it up? That's so weird. It's so different than what I thought it would be. Okay, let's try some colors with the Aquapasto. Oh my gosh, I skipped a color. Shoot. I didn't do that. This is quinacridone rose. Sorry, let's do that first before I forget. I'm going to put that up here at the bottom. This is how my brain works. Nothing is linear. I'm a real scatterbrain. That's a really beautiful color. I feel like I need to learn how to use magenta. I guess I just never liked it because I always felt like it would just turn pink all the time, but I feel like I'm missing out on something, mostly because Nancy keeps talking about quinacridone. See what you did to me, Nancy? Because I really mean it. I learn as much from all of you as I do from other places. Okay, let's try one that's nice and thick. I need way more color here. It's weird. On my webcam, it's making the red look very orange, but it's not. It's very, very pink. I mean, if I could have it my way, we would shoot everything on a DSLR camera. We would have NPR quality sound. We get comments on our channel. People are like, how come your sound isn't this? This is this. I'm like, you guys, who do you think I am? Like, I don't have expensive sound equipment. I mean, you would not believe how expensive the good sound equipment is. Things like a microphone that costs $3,000. No, thank you. But it is amazing to have good sound. Good sound, I think, in some ways is more important than good visuals. Because when sound is bad, it's really bad. Nice. Okay, let's just label that quinacridone rose. Okay, let's try the Aquapasto. See what that is. How about let's try the blue. Aquapasto. This is it. Oh man, I hope I can open this thing. Are you serious? Come on. Oh, okay, good. I got it open. Ooh, weird. Oh, it's bouncy. Oh my gosh, it feels like Jell-O? That's really hard. Actually, you know what it feels like? It feels like rapid skin glue after it has set, when it's not hot anymore. Okay, let's just, I just want to try it by itself. Just see how that feels. Oh, weird. It's so jello-y. Just try. That's really strange. Yes, I know I'm getting pink into this. It's very slippery. I don't think I like it that much. Well, because it sort of it decreases the flow, which I think it said it was supposed to do. So maybe this would be good if you wanted to do like a dry brush. So let me try something like that. I'm going to take, I don't want to put it into the container. I don't know. It's not that big of a difference. At least for me, it's not enough of a difference that I think I would go out of my way. I guess it would be good for dry brushing. Let me do that again. Yeah, because since it decreases the flow, that does make sense. So if you use this with the blue, I don't know. I'm not that big of a fan. It's okay. Who here has used this? Aqua Pasto by Schmincke. Okay, let's try one more. And the other one. Oh my God, I can't open these. Come on. Okay, there we go. Oh, weird. What the heck? Ugh. Oh, it's modeling paste. Oh, okay, that makes sense. I thought this was like a medium. Okay, of course I'm like painted over the section I said I was going to do. Okay, let's just try this. Oh my gosh, it is so coarse. What the heck? Ew. Do you guys see that? It's like cottage cheese. Ugh. I don't know if I like this. I'm going to paint it over. Just put a blob here. Oh my gosh, it's so coarse. This is like modeling paste with some pumice in it. It's so, oh my gosh, yeah, it feels like I'm it feels like I'm painting with sand. That is so weird. So I guess this would be very good for dry brushing. Like, look at that. That's kind of cool, actually. Okay, this one I could see myself using. But do you guys see how this is very granulated? This one I like. I feel like the other one doesn't really do that much. Oh, I like that. Okay, so I'm going to say yes to Aqua Modeling Paste by Schmincke. Yeah, it actually has body to it. Well, duh, it's modeling paste. Of course that's going to be the case. Let's see what people are saying in the chat. Wow, so many great comments from people. Okay, I'm going to scroll down. We have a comment from Mystical Wren. I wonder how the Daniel Smith watercolor sticks are. They seem to have mixed reviews. And so many comments. I love the dialogue, everybody. Reem is asking, is there a way to thin out gouache so it can mimic watercolor? Yeah, you just use water and it will behave like watercolor. The thing about gouache that I think is the biggest difference is it definitely has a chalky, matte-like quality that I don't find is the case with watercolor. And this is a good point from Nancy. Mia told me the same thing. Daniel Smith are initially expensive, but they last a long, long time. What you pay versus what you get is incredible. In general, watercolors are like that. I really have not had to purchase a second set. The Winsor & Newton ones I have, I'm only starting to run out of some of them, and I've had them for years. We also, Alexandria says, are the Daniel Smith paints at top price point typically? I'm not sure because someone bought these for me. I didn't look at the price, but maybe some other people can chime in about that. Okay, so 7A confirms Daniel Smith are right up there with money. It will vary by color. Tina says, I'm trying to use more quality supplies, so this is an affordable way to add to my collection. Thanks for helping me with art store overwhelm. Oh, it is. If you don't have guidance or advice you can trust, the art store is just too much at the same time. The other thing too, I know we're all raving about various reds and greens and everything, but honestly, you don't need that many colors to paint with. Sure, it'd be nice to have a lot of them, but if you have just a few colors, it makes you mix more aggressively, which I think is a good thing. For example, with these colors I have here, if I want to make brown, I have to make it. I can't just squirt it out. And so for those of you who are wanting to get better at color, that is one of the best things to do, which is to limit the number of colors on your palette, therefore making you mix more aggressively. And when you do that, you'll understand color better. You'll get to know the colors and the nuances. Auntie M makes my own pans too. Yeah, a lot of people have the little cakes in a palette. And I know some people just squirt watercolor tubes into there. And yes, I realized that later. Thank you. Did anybody see my liquid charcoal live stream? And people were like, actually, Clara, you used this one and that was that. I'm like, shoot, thanks. Tina says, I'm new to the Patreon and Discord. Do you have a subscription to Discord for the free even, or is it just for everyone who joins for free? So the Discord, if you just join the Discord, it's free. We don't charge to enter there. But the Patreon group, for everyone who doesn't know, is $20 a month. And that is a separate section of the Discord that is just for the Patreon group. And I don't know if you were talking, Tina, about what I mentioned earlier about the giveaway for Open Studios Club, but actually people who are in the Patreon or who have taken a workshop, you guys get two free sessions. If you're in the regular Discord, you get one. But if you want to get more questions answered, Tina, what you can do is just tag me in the Patreon group. Just so everybody knows, I know it's a little bit confusing, but we ask people not to tag staff in the public channels. Otherwise we would get pinged all day. But in the Patreon group, because it's so much smaller, it is okay to tag me there. Oh, okay. So Auntie M is describing flash as matte acrylics. I like that. Oh, Beam is a Canadian brand. Guess I need to go back to Canada. I loved Toronto. Toronto had really, really good Asian food. Oh, I was in heaven. Thank you so much, Tina, for the super sticker. Keep those coming, everybody. It may seem like a small amount, but because our budget is so woefully small for what we do, stuff like that actually really matters for us. And it just makes me happy. Because I try not to talk about this too much, but running ArtProf is really hard and it's also expensive. So any support we can get from you would be fantastic. Color swatch party train, says Ginger. Love it. I am very excited about the modeling piece. I could definitely see that coming in handy, especially doing plein air work. I feel like that would be really cool. Amanda says, yeah, gouache is not a thicker watercolor, even though it behaves in a similar manner. They complement each other, but gouache does not have the transparency of watercolor, which is why I know Alex Rowe, who used to be a teaching artist here, he said he rarely uses watercolor without gouache. For him, they were really great complements to use together. I'm not that into gouache, but I could totally see that argument. Nancy's asking, what do you think of that French ultramarine? It is so granulating, and I'm interested in knowing how you like it when you mix it. Let's see. Oh, you guys, look at this. You probably can't see, but this is really 3D. Oh, I guess I have to wait for it to dry, but it looks like it will dry 3D. That's really cool. Okay, let me see. Yeah, I mean, it's definitely not as smooth as the phthalo blue. It's a little more, like here, you can really see how it is granulated. So between the French ultramarine and the phthalo blue, the French ultramarine is definitely more granulating, but it wasn't that visible to me. I don't know, maybe I'm not a very sensitive watercolor painter, but to me, it didn't feel like a problem. It just didn't feel as smooth as the phthalo. Travis says, Daniel Smith is the bomb. Amethyst Genuine is so good. And Avi says, I squirt my watercolor tubes into empty pans, also use it straight out of the tube. I find filling the pans is very therapeutic. Yes, it's sort of like peeling oil pastels. I don't know why I like doing that, but it just feels really, really fun. Wait, what? Travis says it had granulated amethyst in it, sparkly. Oh my gosh. Okay, I think I need to get some of that paint. That sounds amazing. By the way, everybody, before we do the second part, I'm going to do a short painting study. We have 5 workshops that are running. That would be acrylic painting, flowers, pen and ink, landscapes and water, collage and mixed media. So these are all workshops that are running in May and in June. And because they are running, you can continue to register for these until 2 days before the day of the workshop or until the workshops are full. And these are really fun because the workshops are 2 weeks. I realized for a long time, people didn't know that. They're 2 weeks long because you get the 3-hour live session and then you get the week before and the week after. I found that was very, very important. Okay, let's try a short watercolor study. And I do have a reference image. It's a photo that I shot when I was in Portugal. And the link to it is in the video description below. But this is the image. This is a little piece of this place called, I'm probably going to say it wrong, Boca D, is it D? Da, I can't remember. Boca D Inferno, which is the mouth of hell. It's awesome. And so I'm just going to do a short study to see how the Daniel Smith performs in terms of just blocking in lots of color. And a lot of people ask me questions about sketching in watercolor. So tell me in the chat, who here sketches with pencil in advance? And who here sketches in watercolor? because that is definitely my preference, is to sketch in watercolor, but sketch super, super, super light. I'm mixing a little bit of a brown. Ugh, that turned gray really fast. I think I need a little yellow. See, having to mix this from scratch, it's a very different experience. So you can see here I made brown, and it was a mixture of this yellow, the pearl, and some of the phthalo green. And I'm going to keep this really, really simple because, again, this is just a study. Ooh, that's pretty dark. So I put that initial markdown as too dark, and now I'm going to mix in a little more water. Just lightly sketching in some of this shape. And that's a little bit dark. And so what I typically do is I just go in and I go in with a paper towel and I just do as little as possible to sketch things in. Because I just find when I start with pencil, it puts me in a pencil frame of mind, which I don't always like. I much prefer to be thinking in paint from the get-go. I'm going to be pretty coarse with the way that I paint this. I know it's so light and hard for you guys to see, but that's the point. It sort of has to be that way. Okay, let's get in. There's sort of like a bluish green. So maybe I'll mix some of this yellow. It's a little too, I don't really want a lime green. I want more of a bluish green. And for this, oh shoot. I always have a rag handy so that way I can blot things because that is pretty common. And so actually, you know what I'm gonna do? I was gonna do some lines. Maybe I'll just do a few. And these are, again, crazy light. I'm just gonna block in some of the bigger shapes just to subdivide some of this area because it is pretty messy looking. But I'm gonna go in right away with some of these colors. For example, I want to get in this dark green color. And I need a test sheet of paper. I always try to have a test sheet of paper so that way I can see what the color actually looks like. Because this one I want to be pretty bright. I think I'm going to use the phthalo green. Because I want something nice. Oh, the phthalo green is really good for this. Nice. Oh, I like you, phthalo. Oh, it's not phthalo green. It's phthalo blue green shade. Oh, I like that. Maybe just a little bit of yellow. Okay, this I'm going to do pretty dark. And the main form is here. Oh, geez, not enough water. I'm trying to give the watercolor some structure. So I'm looking at the larger shapes and pattern. Oh, not enough water. Yellow. Water is hard to paint, I think, because it's just so messy. There's just so much going on. So I try to block in what the larger shapes are. In this case, you can see these are the spots. And then there's obviously a lot of foamy water in there. But this is a really big shape. This one here in the center. And then this one up here. So here I'm going to paint it a little bit thicker. And here I'm going to leave that more dry brushy area. And you know something? I like to do this because actually one thing I do in the workshops is I always provide resources that people can do in advance if they want. You don't have to. Before the workshop happens. And actually it's funny, somebody said to me, yeah, Clara, your workshops are the reverse. Most of the time people will do the workshop and then record whatever demo they did. And they said, because you have the video before, the live session is actually way more productive because you don't have to sit through a demonstration. And I was like, wow, I like that. So because we are doing that landscapes and water workshop, I was like, oh man, I really need to have a tutorial on landscapes and water because we didn't have one. And so that's why we're doing this. I try to tie things together that way. Here, I'm just following the direction. You can see the water is going everywhere. It's really tough to follow. But again, simplifying. Because simplifying things is very hard to do. A lot of the times when I work with people, I'm always telling them to simplify things. Because I think what happens is we worry about things being too simple. We say, oh, I don't want it to be that simple. It's not going to be good if it's like that. But actually, the simplicity is oftentimes what makes something really strong. Does anybody here have that where you think, oh, it's not complicated enough? It's going to be too simple if I do that. Who here has had that thought? I have definitely had that thought when it comes to teaching. I sometimes think, gosh, my advice is so boring and it's not very exciting and maybe people would like it better if I taught more in depth. But I don't think that's true. I actually think the beginning courses, introductory classes I've had to teach are the most difficult to teach. I think when you teach advanced students who already have a lot of background, it's actually a lot easier. There's just so much you don't have to cover. But when you teach freshman drawing, like it's the first drawing class that people have that, it's really interesting. Okay. Let me go in. I think I need more green. Oh no, you know what I should do first? I should do the mountain. And for that, I'm going to need quite a bit of the Pure Roll Scarlet. Let's get that going. So it's something nice and dark because this is a really big value change. Oh, I need more yellow. It's a little bit too pink. A little too maroon. Let's try that again. Ugh, that's too yellow. Ew, that got really gross really fast. Okay, that's a better brown. Let's see. And again, I'm just gonna block things in super basic. This is my favorite way to paint. Trying to do things just really simple. Because I'm not one of those people who can paint every single little touch of a piece. It just drives me crazy. So I do better when I can do stuff like this. And I'm going to block in. Let's make a little purple. Because I need some like dark value up here. Especially separating the larger areas. Because down here it's lighter. It's really at the top where it gets quite dark. So that starts to bring some of that in. And I'm going to do a couple transitions. So just wet brush and loosening some of the edges. So things feel like they're moving into each other. Okay, so that needs to dry. Let me get more of a greenish color for over there. Ugh. Oh, that's super gross. Okay, I think I need to clean my palette because I don't want all that color on there. All right. Again, the solution for me was Thalo Blue Green Shade and some of the new gombauch, which I still don't fully know very well. It's sort of like a really saturated yellow ochre, I guess would be the best way for me to describe it. Ugh, too green. And the blue. Okay, that's better. Oh, I am dripping everywhere. Look at this. I'm really going to go to town here. I'm just going to not care and do my dry brushing. This is going to be a very loose piece. But I am trying to push these two big shapes. And a lot of dry brushing here because of the nature of the image. I do think it's important to make sure you're moving around. A lot of dry brushing here. Now, this is the one, for me, this is the anchor. I like to think about one spot as really sinking into place. Of course, now I've gotten rid of all of my whites. Let's just try some washes. So this is just the beginning. It would be layers and layers to get this going. But at the very least, you guys can see the construction of how this works. And now I'm going to do another pass, but with a deeper, richer blue. So here I'm going to really let it bleed. So there's some dark. Ooh, it's kind of fun. Like that. So I'm looking for pockets of value. Little spots where I can let it run some more. And let's just do one quick pass of some dry brushing so we get some of that water action in there. Okay, I know it looks like a big blob, but that's where you have to begin. In theory, I'd go back in and I would do many, many more strokes on top of that. Let's see what people are saying in the chat. Well, I'm so glad you've enjoyed the workshops, Allison. We do have several in May and June that people can register for. I'm very excited about these new topics. We sometimes have workshops where we will run a workshop we've run in the past, but it's also fun to do new ones. Like we've never done a pen and ink workshop, flowers, acrylic, actually none of these. Oh wait, collage and mixed media. I have done this one before, but the other ones are all brand new. And we have some great suggestions. Amanda says, saw a post about mixing with Daniel Smith Lunar Black to add texture to other watercolors. What is Lunar Black? Is that like modeling paste or something else? I never heard of it before. Oh, okay. Allison says crazy texture. Oh, this is interesting. Travis sketches with Prismacolor coal arrays, usually with tones I'm planning to use to paint. Are those water soluble? Because I have done that before, sketched with watercolor pencil. Oh, this is a good solution. Thin colored microns. Talking about pen and ink for that workshop, I know the classic thing to do is to use a black micron pen. But some of you may have seen, we have a couple of videos with Song Kang where she demonstrates drawing amazing crosshatching. And she's been doing on Instagram recently a lot of pen drawings that don't have any black at all. And that they are so different than when you have that black, which is the black is so dramatic. But she sometimes will use like even brown makes it different. So for those of you guys who like doing pen, that's sometimes a good solution. Shannon uses a 4-H. Well, so if any of you guys had the chance to watch the video with Andrew Raftery, there is a point where he talks about soft pencils. And I say to him, oh, you mean like 2B? He's like, oh no, 4-H. That's so soft. And he said he was very sad that they no longer make the 9-H pencils. This is another degree of pencil drawing that I did not know about. Okay. And Starry Night says, Daniel Smith Primatech are fun paints to play with. They're made from genuine rare earth materials and stones. Beautiful granulating effects. Nice. Yeah, Avi, chalk is also a great option. I don't know if people saw, Lauren did a short on something called a chalk line tool. And I can't explain it, but it basically makes it really easy to make lines in chalk onto your canvas before you paint. If you just look up Art Prof chalk line tool, you'll find it. It's so brilliant. Like, I never knew about that tool. Oh, interesting. September brings up, I love them, but some of the paints I've used straight from the tube because some don't re-wet as well as others. Interesting. I haven't gotten to that point yet. I'd have to work on a piece longer, but yes, that's definitely a nuance. And I know some people use that masking fluid. I've never been able to use it. Tell me in the chat, who here uses that masking fluid for watercolor to preserve the whites of the page? I feel like I just can't plan that far in advance, but I know some people do really fantastic work with it. And Shamara says, I'm usually scared to embrace texture. I'm actually learning a lot from this. I love texture. And you know something? For the longest time, I did not like texture, especially in high school and probably freshman year in art school. I wanted everything to be smooth. I don't know why. Like, most of the world is not smooth. And now texture is, oh, my favorite thing. I love doing it in paints and all these other places. DC's asking how I like them compared. Oh, they're way better. I'm going to switch. Goodbye, Witzer Newton and Old Holland. So far, these are way, way better. Okay, let's do another pass. And some of you may have missed this, but this is the reference photo. Boca da Inferno, which is in Portugal. And it translates to mouth of hell. I'm going to do a couple more structural details. So maybe I'll get in with some of this. I think I want the big brush. One of my painting tips for everybody is stay with the big brush as long as you possibly can, because the big brush is what's going to get you to keep seeing things as a whole. If you get too detailed, it's very easy to lose that. So again, I'm doing another pass. I'm doing smaller strokes. Strokes are not quite as big as they were before. And they layer beautifully. So if anybody's wondering, yes, go get Daniel Smith paints if you can afford them. I know they're expensive. Not everybody can, but I am liking what I see so far. Yeah, I definitely. I mean, this is where I really lean into the brush. If you guys look at it, I'm not even really holding the brush the way people traditionally do. It's because I want to just play with marks, see what I can do with that. So that gives it a little more structure. Okay, I feel a little better. I don't know, the beginning of a painting, it just feels like mush. And so I always feel like it's never going to work. And then you paint for a little while. You're like, oh, actually, it's okay. The beginning of a painting is very hard for us because we just, I think, this is my theory. Tell me if you agree or not. I think we just constantly need validation. We need validation that we're on the right track, that we are not headed in the wrong direction. I think it's extremely common for people to feel that way. And so that's why the early stages are so difficult for us, because we just crave that validation that things are actually going in the right direction. But in the beginning of a painting, there is no direction. You're just trying things out. My brush is way too wet. This is pretty fun. And every time I do a stream, I really want to finish everything 100%. But oh my God, you guys, I have so much to do. It's crazy. Because you know something? YouTube has been very fickle. It's always very fickle from a creator point of view. But I think I finally sort of figured out what it wants. And I do think our videos have improved, the shorts. Tell me in the chat, have you seen that difference in our shorts? Do you see that improvement? I mean, I think a lot of it is that I've been going on site. And so that's a really big difference in terms of the content we can produce. But I am feeling better about things. And an update, if anybody missed it, can't reveal information, but I think I wormed my way into the Getty. I think. I won't believe it until I'm there talking to the person, but I'm pretty sure I wormed my way in. So you'll get an update on that. I'm going to be in LA pretty soon. Okay, let's do really dry brush. This is really fun. I haven't done watercolor in a really long time. Gosh, I really should do that Dune poster, shouldn't I? Who here saw Dune? I thought the second one was better than the first one. I feel like the story was more interesting. But I didn't read the book. I don't feel like I'm one to judge. I'm also looking at the direction of the water. And I'm trying to build up to the value. It's still pretty light. I mean, there's a lot of stuff in here that could use more value range. Okay, now I'm going to go in. I'm going to blur some of these edges. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to dip my rag into water. And I'm just going to lift. I think sometimes this is a good way. So what I'm doing is I'm making some of the edges smooth as a contrast to those really brushy areas. So that's kind of fun. And I should definitely make that darker. The stuff in the upper right. I just need more value. Like, it's just not even close right now. Let's block that in. Just as a value thing, I'm not trying to make it look amazing. I mean, I'm never trying to make it look amazing. Do you guys think, okay, I just had this thought this morning, because oftentimes I work with people and they get frustrated. Of course they do. Who doesn't get frustrated? And I sort of think that part of it is managing your expectations. Do you guys think that's part of it? That maybe we have expectations that are too high given our situation? And what I mean by that is, let's say you started painting with watercolor 2 weeks ago, and let's say you're frustrated that your watercolors don't look how you want them to look. I mean, you can be very experienced and they cannot look the way you want them to look. But I wonder if it's because if we could just remove some of those expectations that we might learn better. Do you guys think that's true? Because I just have been seeing more and more that people's expectations are so high for a certain amount of time that they've been working. And I think sometimes if we could just get rid of that, maybe the learning would be easier and maybe we wouldn't get so fixated on that. And instead we would think about the learning part, which is that's what you should be spending your time on, is the learning. Too much blue up here. I'm doing a lot of sloppy bleeds up here because they're fun. A little too blue. Ah, more red. Okay, let's see what people are saying. Yes, sorry, Jonky. No more 9H. Josh says, I often use the masking fluid, but I find for some brands, if it stays on the paper for more than a few days, it might tear the paper when rubbing off or just get stuck to it. Oh, that would stress me out. Okay, that's enough for me to say. I don't really want to use that because I get stressed about that. Yeah, Manette says, it's very hit or miss. Even when I follow all the tips and tricks, I usually end up ripping my paper. Now I just paint around areas that should be white and use gouache if I mess up. Me too. And I feel like there's a whole group of people somewhere on the planet who have decided that if you add white gouache to your watercolor, that you're cheating. I'm like, that's so annoying. Who cares? Like, who says that a watercolor painting has to be 100% watercolor? I'm like, dude, like, I do it all the time. So I'm going to tell you all, I don't think it's cheating. And anybody who thinks it's cheating, too bad. I'm just going to do it. Oh, interesting. Jinja says masking fluid and some brands of watercolor paper are not friends. Good to know. Oh my God, Winslow Homer. Oh my God, you guys. Oh, Winslow Homer. Okay, and good. Quite a few of the highlights were whitewashed. There you go. So if you count that as cheating, apparently Sargent and Homer were cheaters, which I just don't buy. Although, you know something? There is an oil painting by Winslow Homer. It's this type of scene with all the foam in the water. I keep thinking about it. It's this oil painting, and oh my God, the brushwork is so good. I didn't have time when I went to Providence to go see it. I really wanted to go visit it because that particular painting gets me so excited about brushwork. Oh, thanks, Avi. I'm so glad you're enjoying the new shorts, because as much as I keep thinking that, oh, we sort of hit our stride, it's like then something else comes up. I'm like, oh, this is better. I think they're better. Oh, I know the costume design. Oh, beautiful. Slate has been around for years. I think of Art Prof as maturing. Yes. We keep growing, and I'm always trying to improve as much as I possibly can. All right, everybody, please join me in the Discord. If you want to see a better image of the painting and some of the swatches up close, please meet in the Post Live Streams channel. Join our Patreon group. This is a wonderful small group of artists. You get access to weekly voice sessions with staff. I write very, very long critiques on your artwork. And most of all, it's a great place to make art friends. Art Prof has services. We have artist calls, portfolio critiques, statement editing, and personal art curriculums. Everybody, thank you so much for watching. We'll see you next time. Bye.